Welcome to Parents Night In. Come have a seat. Our show is Parents Night In, and it's a treat. Our names are Kelly and Justin, and we are your gracious hosts. So please join us on YouTube and become a subscriber to our show, which is Parents Night In Boozy Movie Review.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's 2021.
Thank God. Well, kind of.
It's already started out as a shit show.
It's kind of shaky.
Oh, God.
Anyway, things are a little shaky.
Welcome to Parents Night In here at enough.com. We are your hosts this week. And every week.
Is it dry in here or is it just me?
It's really dry. It's like the fucking Sahara. We're trying for a dry January.
Yeah.
So if we're less fun this episode, blame the sobriety.
Hey, I don't need booze to have a good time.
Okay, after school special.
So it's dry January. We're not alone in this. A lot of people are drying it out this month.
Yeah.
Some people have failed because, you know, America is crazy at the moment. So we'll just see how it goes.
If by crazy you mean collapsing upon itself, then yes.
It's been an interesting week. So we thought it would be fun to
do something really lighthearted. We're watching The Gold Rush, the classic silent film by Charlie Chaplin.
Chaplin was the director.
A masterpiece of, as he called it, dramatic comedy. And he just plays his usual tramp character, except he's a prospector looking for gold. And hijinks ensue.
Who doesn't want gold?
Who doesn't want hijinks?
Let's be honest.
So this movie was originally released in 1925. It was a massive hit worldwide.
It's still the top five silent movie. Top five grossing silent movie.
What was number one?
Birth of a Nation.
The controversial Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
That made the KKK into heroes somehow.
Yep.
So it was a massive hit. And then in the 40s, Chaplin decided to sort of revisit it. And he was like, people should see this again. Mm. I want to release this. But the problem was, by the 40s, no one wanted to watch a silent movie at all.
Yeah.
Because silent movies were super passé. So he said, well, let me add sound to it. I'll just narrate it and write a new score and, you know, do all the voices and stuff. So he re-released it. It was, again, a massive hit. And it was such a hit, and silent films were so passé that he was like, well, this is the real version now, the one with sound. So he more or less destroyed the original version of his film, and he didn't care at that point because he was like, no, this is the real one. But in the, I think, late 90s, a couple guys decided to restore the 25 version. So thankfully, we have it now, and to me, this is the definitive version.
Have you watched the 42 version?
I tried to, and it bugged me. I didn't like the audio soundtrack.
You didn't like the changes, like, yeah.
It was perfect the way it was. Why would you fuck with it? He was like George Lucas before George Lucas.
Yeah.
So this was shot on location, very near where the Donner Party got snowed in, because that was one of the inspirations for him making the movie.
That was the only shot that he ended up doing on
location.
Location, because it got so expensive.
Yes, so they moved everything to the studio.
Yeah.
That shot of him walking around the bend, where it looks like he's about to fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
You know how they did that?
No.
There was a glass painting with a hole that they put in front of the camera, and they lined it up with the piece of set.
That's cool.
And it's seamless.
So remind me, when did we watch this movie together for the first time? How many years ago was it?
A couple years ago.
Only a couple?
Two or three.
Was this the first full Chaplin I watched with you?
Yeah.
Okay. My memory these days is like, I've seen a whole bunch of Chaplin films. I don't remember the order or when or how many I've seen in full. I really liked it. And interestingly, I love the artist. And so I've seen that several times, yeah. You know, by the time we sat down and watched this. And I'm almost a little sad about it. I would like to go back in time and see this movie for the first time, having not seen an homage to silent film.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, seeing this after the artist was like, gave me another, you know, second wind of appreciation for the artist, because it was like, wow, they really did do an amazing job.
Yeah.
So either way, when I saw this, I already had an affinity for the genre because of the artist, which is so stupid to say because I really never watched anything else. I thought he was so cute.
Yes.
I've seen, and I've walked in when Justin's watching these before, then caught bits and pieces of other...
Chaplin movies or just silent movies?
Films. Chaplin movies. Well, both. Silent movies and Chaplin movies.
Yeah.
Silent movies in general, some of them I like and some of them I don't. But this kind of silent movie I like. I like the music, the fun, the, you know, because of the silence, the super emotional acting.
Yes, it's very physical.
Yeah.
Because that's all they had to work with.
And to be fair, you know, you've educated me a bit here and there on Chaplin, and I had read several things about him over the years, and so I know he was super dedicated to his craft, and like, none of this happened...
Big perfectionist.
Yeah, none of this happened by accident. Like, this was all extremely well planned.
It was extremely well planned, but he didn't really write scripts.
No, but he had it in his head.
He had it in his head, but like...
No one else knew what he was doing.
He had sequences that he hadn't fully worked out, and he would have sets built, and he didn't really know what he was going to do with them yet. Yeah. He just had a vague idea.
Right.
And then he would actually just rehearse on film, and it was all trial and error. And then eventually he'd get the thing he liked. And like, he's got a movie called The Immigrant, which is considered one of his best early short films.
Mm.
And it's basically like a two-part thing. It's he and this woman are on a boat immigrating to the U.S., and then they end up running into each other at a cafe. But that whole backstory wasn't even part of the original plan. It was just going to be about the cafe part.
Right.
And then he was like, well, I only have like 10 minutes of material, so I got to come up with something else. And then he said, okay, where'd the woman come from?
Right.
And that's where he came up with the idea for The Immigrant.
Oh, this, according to the IMDb trivia, this was the first film he ever did where he had a plan and a story all mapped out.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. So contrary to the style you just described, this one was a little bit more structured and planned.
Yeah.
I love this scene. It's such a great scene. It's so well done.
Yeah, I think this was the first one. So I saw this when I was a kid. My mom brought home a crappy VHS copy that she bought at the grocery store. This and Night of the Living Dead. That's how I saw these two movies for the first time.
Wow.
Fell in love with both of them as a 10-year-old. But this scene was the first one that caught my eye with him trying to leave the cabin and the wind pushing him back in.
Yeah.
And I think that was...
His physical comedy is clearly legendary. It's amazing, not like I'm noting this for the first time, but it's just so good.
I think the way he did it, so the set is slightly tilted.
I was going to say, it would have to be because
of the way fan blowing off screen.
Yeah.
But I think he had like soaped up his shoes to make them super slippery. Mm. There's a featurette on this disc about the special effects specifically, and they were pretty amazingly inventive.
Mm. I watch this and I feel the cold.
Yep.
They portray it well enough that I'm like, I could not imagine being there.
Yeah.
Freezing. The big guy quit. He couldn't bear doing such a vigorous role wearing a thick fur winter suit.
Really?
And so Chaplin let him leave, but then decided to coax him back. And then I guess he already shaved, and rather than having him wear a fake beard, Chaplin paused production until he regrew his beard.
Wow. Yeah, this production
paused many times.
It did. And we'll get to another reason later when it comes up. But
yeah.
Yeah, it took like 15 months to make this movie. In City Lights, the leading lady, I think he fired her because they weren't getting along and she couldn't deal with his perfectionism. So I think he fired her and then replaced her with the woman from this movie. And then I think he realized, oh shit, now we got to shoot all of her stuff again. And I think he wasn't totally happy with Georgia Hale's performance either, so he got the original actress back somehow. Mm. Yeah, like once he became a true auteur, I'm sure he was not super easy to work with.
Yeah. Well, and he was a bit of a ladies' man, so he got himself He got himself in trouble a few times.
I think just about every woman he worked with either had a relationship with him or wanted to, except for that one that he fired. Like, I think she respected him a lot, but I think she was like, I don't like you.
You know what, Charles? I don't like you.
Take your mismatched shoes and your pretty little mustache and get the fuck out of my life.
And your three of spades.
Yeah, they really do simulate the winter conditions amazingly because this is all on a soundstage.
Yep. It's to the point where like I've actually had the concrete thought, okay, if I were stuck in that kind of snowy tundra wilderness, I have to imagine that just being inside that cabin would be better than nothing because you wouldn't have the wind. Like, they make it so clearly
it's
cold looking.
It's still pretty windy in there. There's like snow blowing.
But I just, through. You know, it's like, oh, they look like they're at least going to survive. Like, I have these thoughts, like, I guess it's better to be in there.
Oh, here it is. Maybe the most famous scene in the movie.
Apparently one of the most famous scenes, because there's a scene later that was so popular, they actually, like, stopped the movie in the theater and replayed it.
Yes, 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 yes. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, so we'll talk about it when we get there.
So, he cooked his shoe, and so this part... I mentioned the Donner Party earlier. This scene is what was inspired by the Donner Party because they initially ate like all of their animals and their moccasins. And then, you know, once they ran out of all that stuff, then they started eating each other. Mm. That shoe is, of course, famously made of licorice. And they did so many takes of this that both guys got horribly sick from eating so much licorice.
Yeah, because if you overeat licorice, it messes with your, is it potassium or... They ended up having to go to the hospital and they had to shut down production.
Yeah.
Black licorice in the U.S. uses little to no authentic licorice flavor.
Yeah.
Relies on similar tasting anise oil, which explains to me, which describes why anise and licorice
are similar.
Seem so similar to me.
I actually like licorice in small doses. I don't like anise cookies. Ugh. Those are the goddamn worst. Oh, no. It's the old cartoon trope.
Yeah,
although this may have predated the cartoon trope, I'm not sure. But
that would be a good thing to check.
Yeah, but Jim now sees Charlie as an actual chicken. The original plan was to just have him see a regular chicken in place of Charlie, but then they came up with the idea of the man in the chicken suit. Mm. It was going to be like a stunt double, and he wasn't happy with the guy's performance, so he said, fuck it, put me in the chicken suit.
Yeah, he didn't like that the guy was not... quite getting the Chaplin-esque movement down.
Right.
Which, you know, I get it, is really hard to duplicate. Especially at the time where it's not like people could sit there and watch a video over and over again and practice it.
That's right.
The chicken suit's so fun.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where SNL got the idea to put Paul Simon in a turkey suit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then Vanessa Bayer.
Oh, yeah.
The dissolves were done in camera, which I didn't realize.
How so?
Well, the cameras back then had... a specific mechanism to do effects like that.
Oh.
So you would shoot the film, but then you would, as it was rolling, you would switch it to dissolve. There was like an actual dial that said dissolve in or out. Mm. So you would dissolve out, it would fade to black on that particular shot, and then you would rewind the film back to where you wanted it, and then switch it to dissolve in and start rolling, and it would dissolve in.
Like, would they roll the film back while he was putting his chicken costume on and then dissolve back in with him standing there as a chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the camera wouldn't move. It's locked onto the same angle.
Yeah.
I want one of those cameras now. One thing that always amazes me about Chaplin is he seems to weigh like 35 pounds.
Yeah, well, he's tiny.
I know he's tiny, but like his agility and just his just lightness
like
of movement is amazing. Yeah, he's got like a dancer's agility. Oh, no, the bear. Oh, no, Charlie and Jim, that's... Don't eat the bear's liver.
Oh, God, no, you'll die.
You'll die.
Oh, Justin once made the mistake of telling our 6-year-old child that...
He was older than six.
No.
Yes.
Maybe he was 7.
This was last year.
He told him that if you eat bear meat, you'd like immediately die because it has too much vitamin A.
I didn't say immediately. I just said like bear meat's no good to eat because they have so much vitamin A, it could kill you.
But then he actually misremembered the true fact, which is it's the liver that you can't eat.
It's the liver you can't eat.
But our child went through this very, very anxious phase.
How do we know this isn't bear meat?
Oh, God.
Because they don't put bear meat in shit.
It really made me angry at Justin. Luckily, we're past that phase.
Yes, well, mostly. He still has occasional moments of, what if this happens? Mm. This completely ridiculous, specific scenario that could never happen. Oh, no, something terrible might happen. So right here is the other special effect that was done in camera.
Yeah, you can tell it's sort of green screeny or something.
So the camera was called Bicap or something. So it basically had like two magazines, one on top of another, like two film magazines.
Yeah.
And you could feed both of them through at the same time. So you would shoot, what they did was they shot the model, the cliff edge, and then printed that, didn't move the camera, but printed it just to see where it fit in the shot. And then they would shoot the actor in front of just white. Mm. And then they would go back and shoot the model again, breaking apart so that it lined up with the piece of film that they had shot the actor on. Mm. And then it would print both at the same time.
Cool.
So that's Georgia Hale.
Hi, Georgia.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
So she was a replacement. The original actress was this woman, Lita Gray, who was also in The Kid.
Yeah, and she was a child when he met her.
When he met her, she was 15.
Ew.
So by this point,
she... No. She was 16 at this point.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, geez. So yeah, he cast her in this, and then he hooked up with her and got her pregnant.
Surreptitiously.
And then...
It was a secret affair.
Romance.
Yeah. And then because he got her pregnant, he was like, well, shit, now I gotta marry her. And it did not go well for either one of them. No. Neither one of them were happy.
No. So then he recast the role with Georgia Hale. And Georgia Hale recollects that there was a lot of sexual tension between them as well. Mm. I don't think they ever actually hooked up, but they wanted to. You could tell.
No.
What?
Charles Chaplin and Georgia Hale were having an affair.
Oh, they actually did hook up.
Yes. When their finale's Lingering Kiss was filmed, according to Hale, in a documentary in 83...
Yeah.
It was not acting, she said. No, it was a very long kiss.
Yes,
and then,
yes.
Because when he reissued the movie in 42, he was so long done with Hale, he trimmed their final scene to exclude the longer kiss.
Yes, he cut that part out. But I thought it was because there was all this like unresolved angst between them. And
no,
he was like,
it looks like they hooked up, according to that.
Because I've seen that interview, and she was talking about, it was originally supposed to be a really short kiss. It ended up being a very long kiss, and they did take after take. And she was like, I think probably because he had feelings for me, and I certainly had feelings for him.
Yeah.
But she didn't talk about it as though they actually hooked up. It sounded like it was more...
I mean, it's possible that IMDb is lying.
Tension between them. They may have hooked up, but I didn't get that impression from her interview. Her hair is very 20s, but still pretty timeless for a 20s haircut.
Yeah, it's not as overly 20s as other movie haircuts can be.
It doesn't have that weird bowl shape.
Yeah. The curl in the middle of her forehead is definitely 20s.
It is. I want to hang out at that saloon, by the way.
Yeah.
Looks delightful.
That place looks delightful. I'd like to have a beverage, please.
Hang out with all the prospectors and their fur coats.
I thought you were going to say prostitutes.
And all the prostitutes.
Be the greatest prospector in the North.
I'm going to be the greatest prostitute in the North.
I was drinking my seltzer.
I'm sorry. This guy Jack's a real prick.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, you suck.
Hey, Jack, you're very handsy. I don't appreciate it.
No one says that enough anymore. He was awfully handsy last night. Come on, have a drink. I don't like Jack.
Hashtag me too, Jack. Hashtag me too, Klondike.
I wish I could think of a good pun for that, but I can't.
Because you're not drunk.
I don't know much about Alaska, I think is the problem.
Gnome means gnome.
Yes!
Woo-hoo!
That was a good one. I was never going to get there. No amount of booze could have gotten me there anyway. Let's be clear.
I'm so good at groan-inducing jokes. Oh, look, he thinks he beat him up because he hit the post by accident and knocked the clock off and it knocked him out.
He's so proud of himself. It's an important moment for a wimp like that.
It's true. Diary of a Wimpy Prospector.
Can I go on the record in saying that those books suck?
Why?
I hate them.
Why?
Because the kid is an asshole.
Is he?
He is a narcissistic.
Have you actually read them?
I've listened to all of them on Audible
that's
with
right,
Harry.
That's right.
And he's read several of them, and I've seen the movies and stuff. The movies don't do a great job of making him much better, but they're better.
Yeah.
But the books, I want to go find
Greg?
Jeff Kinney.
Oh.
And be like, why? Why did you make him terrible? He's a terrible kid.
It's probably
with no redeeming characteristics.
It's probably a revenge fantasy. Oh, he poured some lamp oil on his foot by mistake. I wonder how that's going to pay off.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems like it's maybe going to pop up again.
It'd be really weird if nothing happened with that.
Twould.
Oh, they're reunited.
Bunch of mean girls is what they are.
She's being all flirty with him.
Here, little man, will dance with me. I want to introduce you to my friends. There's Susie Q-Tip and Furface Doodle-Dolla, and then there's June.
Furface Doodle-Darnla? What nationality is she?
I really lost it there. I was trying, but my brain wasn't going quite so fast.
Uh-oh, she just realized he's serious about this little flirtation. The flower... And her picture both under his pillow.
And here's how you know she's a mean bitch. She could be like, oh, he's him. Sweet. But no, she shows the girls.
And they have a good laugh.
Furface Badarla Darl has a good laugh.
Face Dardla Darnla.
And June. I hate mean
what
girls.
What was the first girl's name? Something McGee?
I don't remember. I just said it. I don't remember.
Hey, Jerkwad McGee.
Something Q-tip.
Susie Q-tip or something. Yeah. Is it Susie Q-tip?
I don't know. I'm definitely a better comedian.
When you're drunk?
When I've had a few.
Hey, Jenna Q-tip and Furface Darnla Darnla and you. I can't pronounce your name. He never said she could smoke in there. That's very presumptuous of her.
I think everybody did
there
that
it
back
is.
Then.
She lit his foot on fire. Jesus Christ, Furface Nadarla Darnla. Why would you throw a lit match on the floor of a wood cabin?
I can't even say the name again. Christ. You do it so well. La Darnla Darnla.
I'm a good mimic. Yeah, she's all like, oh, why don't you invite us to dinner sometime? We're not going to show up, but we'll just do it. If this were Fleabag, ooh, you should invite us to dinner. I'm not going to dinner.
Yeah. I kind of like had hoped, because they were such jerks, that the girl's skirt would catch on fire, too.
Well, it almost did.
Yeah, but it should have. All the way.
It should have all the way, and then she should have died. Are you okay?
I know I caused all of this by being an asshole, but...
I'm sorry, my dickhead friend smoked in your cabin and lit your foot ablaze. And then he's like, will you really come to dinner? Like, oh, yeah, totally. We'll be here on New Year's Eve.
He's like, great. I have one more shoe left.
It didn't occur to her that he's got my picture under his pillow. He thinks I'm serious. This is a mean thing to do to him. Georgia sucks.
Yeah, she does suck. So
I wonder if
we decided
that scene in Just Friends was an homage to this when he's flipping out in the car and she comes back. She's like, I forgot my gloves.
It has to be.
It's got to be.
It's way too much of a coincidence.
Oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. New Year's Eve. What the hell? Pillow. Look at the lovely little spread he put out for all of them.
He's so sweet.
Oh, he gave her a cookie that says, to my love. Hello, lover. Georgia, I'm wondering if you'll come over and be my lover, you see. Georgia's too busy with a guy who doesn't appreciate her.
She's the worst.
So this part, he's waiting for them to show up. And he's just sitting there waiting and waiting. It dissolves here. As a kid, I thought that it was just a time compression where, like, they showed up and they actually had their little dinner party. Because at the end of it, she kisses him and he passes out, like he faints.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he's alone.
Right.
So I thought that they showed up, had their little thing, he fainted, and then they just ditched him there after that. But this is, in fact, a fantasy segment.
Yes.
They haven't actually shown up. This is just he's picturing what the dinner's going to be like when
and
they
it's
do.
So cute.
It is cute.
Sad they didn't actually show up. They probably would have had more fun than they would have at the bar.
That's true. And here's the other really famous sequence where he dances with bread rolls.
Yes.
Apparently, he was not the first person to do this on film. One of his collaborators, when they worked at the Max Sennett studio in their early days, did this. I think it was his idea, but his friend was the one who actually got to do the...
Fatty Arbuckle,
yes. Actually got to do the scene.
Mm.
And then he kind of recycled it. To great effect. Also, because the copy I had as a kid was so crappy, in this shot, all you could really see was his head and the little feet. Mm. So it actually looked like it was his head on a tiny little body. It was funny. So then he wakes up and they never showed up.
Jerks.
Those jerks.
Still mad at them.
This happened almost 100 years ago and I still hate them. Even though they don't exist.
It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Happy New
Should
Year.
All the acquaintance be forgot? I'll shoot guns inside the air.
Inside the air?
Inside this bar.
Oh.
Is that better? Why is she shooting guns in a bar? What an idiot.
Maybe they're blanks.
Who carries a gun around in the Klondike with blanks?
She does on New Year's.
Joan, have you seen my gun? No, the one with the blanks. I just like to shoot it off at midnight.
They couldn't afford the noisemakers that go...
But they could afford blanks for a gun in the Klondike.
Maybe they fashioned blanks. Maybe they just emptied the bullet piece out.
You're really digging yourself in deep here.
No, no.
Pretty sure that was a real bullet.
So there's holes in the ceiling now?
Yes.
And they're all going to freeze
to death?
She's
an idiot.
She is an idiot. Jesus Christ, Georgia. She's an idiot and she's thoughtless because she toyed with this wonderful man's emotions and then ditched him.
Yeah, and then she shot holes in the ceiling and everyone's going to die of hypothermia. She's really very thoughtless.
She sucks. So she just remembers, oh, that's right. I said that we were going to come by the stupid cottage with little wimpy man. Let's go and pay him a visit just to have a little fun. He won't at all be heartbroken that we didn't actually show up for dinner. She goes in and she's like, oh, shit. He really was serious. Whoops.
What did you think?
I mean, your picture under his pillow wasn't enough of a tip-off.
What did you think, Georgia Flam Flam?
That he was jumping around throwing goose feathers around the room after you accepted his invitation.
And he or she is all feeling bad now. Like, you don't get to feel bad now. You caused this.
You douche.
And she's like, wow, I'm a bitch.
I'm a bitch, I'm a bitch, I'm a bitch, I'm a bitch. And he's like, let's make out in a stranger's cabin.
Let's make out.
Let's do it on his bed, why not? The scene here where he tries to kiss her, the actress really didn't want to kiss him.
Mm.
And they kept doing take after take after take, and she finally got so pissed that she actually hauled off and smacked him. And that's the take that they used.
He probably deserved it.
Because Chaplin knew he wanted that raging white-hot fury.
That was amazing.
And then Jack is like, what? What? What happened?
And then probably in real life, they yelled, cut! And the whole room cheered, and Georgia was so proud of herself. She was like, I'm going to win an Oscar. I'm going to win an award. And then they're going to give me dinner and a drink.
That's all she wants is a meal? Jesus.
Well, that's just a celebratory dinner and drink.
She was a struggling actress, apparently.
Well, she gets to take the statue home and put it on her mantle.
Too bad they didn't have Oscars yet. They're going to give me an Oscar.
They're probably like...
They haven't invented them yet, but someday they're going to have Oscars and they're going to give me one retroactively.
An Oscar and some food and a drink. What? Who's Oscar? It's the award.
It's the award. They're going to call him Oscar, you see? He's gold and he fits right in your pocket.
I think she's a soothsayer. The joke has gone too far. You did this. You did it.
Well, yes.
Well, at least she knows when to call it quits.
Yes.
At least she knows when she's reached too far, when she's done too much, and should admit her mistakes, if you know what I mean.
Are you implying something?
America.
Oh.
Big Jim McKay wanders into town. He's gonna go to talk to the man, and they're gonna give him all kinds of news.
What kind of news are they going to give him?
I don't know.
He's going into the assayer's place.
She's a soothsayer, and they are assayers.
He comes in, and he's like, I have gold. I can't remember where it is. Can you help me find it? And they're just like, ass.
Someone hit my head.
Ass. Ass. Ass.
That's what an assayer does.
That's all we do.
They just say ass over and over again.
Ass.
Ass. Ass. Ass.
She's writing a note, and it says, I'm sorry about last night. Please forgive me. I love you. Georgia. For Jack.
Yeah, what a dummy. She's definitely, she's caught in his web.
She's like a battered housewife.
He's a terrible spider and he caught her in his web. She can't get out.
He's a scurvy little spider. And then he's just showing it to all of her friends. Oh, he really is a douche.
He's like, look, she loves me. I bet you she's not even watching this right now.
Right here is where she realizes, wow, he doesn't even give a shit.
Yep.
Now he's
so now he's
tricks.
Taking the note and he's going to give it to the...
He's going to make Charlie think that she gave it to him instead. It would actually be appropriate if she wrote it to him.
Jack really needs a good rap in the mouth.
Yeah, a rap in the Jack Johnson.
Mm.
Oh no, Big Jim is back and he found him. Take me to the cabin, I'll make you a millionaire.
She hears this. Guess what? I bet you she's a front runner.
Gold digger.
Oh, ha! Look at that.
Yeah.
She's a gold digger.
And so is he.
Yeah. And now I'm going to make good. That was great.
The shot where he gets dragged.
It's a great
through
shot.
The air. Off,
I want to know, did he land on a mattress or something?
Probably.
Yeah, that's amazing. His feet flew up in the air just like a cartoon.
Yeah.
After a long and tedious journey, they get back to the dilapidated cabin. When they open the door, they realize that while they were away, the Property Brothers came and they spruced up the place. There's a new fridge, a new TV, a new sofa, new cabinets, new walls.
Unfortunately, the bear lives here now. They're at the edge of a precipice. What did we do last night? The table's knocked over? The plates are on the floor? Must have been quite a rager. My head's spinning so bad, it feels like the house is rocking back and forth. That's weird.
I mean, I've definitely had hangover mornings like that.
Yeah. It's the stomach. We're both hungover, you see. I didn't have anything. No, we're both hungover. As a kid, this scene delighted me.
It's delightful.
Yeah.
Scary as shit, man.
Oh, yeah. They're not very bright for just continuing to test it rather than just open the door and see what the hell's going on outside.
See where you are, dum-dums.
Stupids. Big Jim may be rich, but he's not bright.
Not that way.
I'll go out the way where it's tipping over. That's
Don't go
smart
that
move.
Way. Charles! Look at the little doll. That's
I
so funny.
That was stop motion.
Mm. It looks like it. That was cool. That was a decent stop motion for this day and age.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up.
That's like the Grinch's sleigh. Wonder if Seuss was influenced by this. And what happened then? Well, in Alaska, they say that Big Jim's ass grew 3 sizes that day.
Oh, jeez.
I don't.
It's very stressful.
Yes.
It's like stressing me out.
And here's, they did that in-camera double film reel again. Where they shoot the actor separately, but they feed it through the camera at the same time as the background.
He's
found it. He found his gold.
Yeah, he found his gold, but, you know, his friend is going to go over the cliff. He made it just in time. That's pretty well done as well.
Yeah, and the VHS copy I had as a kid was so not high def that I thought that was actually a legit shot of him at the edge of a cliff. Like, how'd they get home again? Where'd all the eats go? The eats went down with the cabin.
Yeah. Well, they have like a bajillion dollars of gold. It's fine.
Yeah, but that's not going to help them get back to civilization. Must have been a harrowing journey back. Also, how'd they get the big fucking mountain of gold back?
I think they bring the assayers up, I assume.
Oh, now that he knows where it is again?
Yeah.
And then they go, ass.
Ass. Ass, ass.
And then when they get there, they're like, ass!
Ass!
Ass.
Ass, ass. Ass, ass. Ass, ass. Ass, ass. Ass, ass. That's them whispering to each other.
Oh. George has had enough of Jack and this life up in the frozen tundra of Alaska and gold rushes. And
searching for a
stowaway. She's just over it all. I'm gonna go back home. Maybe I'll get an acting career. I can shoot a blank pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd be good on stage as anyone who wants to shoot guns.
Yeah, yeah. I can certainly pretend to be a nice person. I did it once. Why are they taking a picture of just him without Jim there? That seems weird.
I was going to ask you that question too. Why are they only...
why wouldn't they wait for Jim to also get changed?
Well, yeah, they're only interviewing him. They want to hear about his career, but they don't want to hear about Jim's career.
They do, but they're like, well, while we're waiting, I'll just take pictures of you. It's Georgia! She thinks he's the stowaway that they're looking for. This is a stowaway. You're a dipshit.
That's Big Jim's partner, the multimillionaire. You dummy! How dare you put your hands on him like that?
Wait, wait. You're a multimillionaire? Congratulations! Make arrangements for another guest. That's a little bit presumptuous.
I'm not a stowaway. I'm stowing multi-millions of dollars in my butt.
What?
Well, he doesn't have any bags.
And he goes, excuse me, sir, who's the lady?
Who is this lady?
I'm gonna bang her later. Congratulations!
Congratulations!
She doesn't deserve his love because she's a jerk.
Well, she had an epiphany once she saw Jack react to her note. She was like,
yeah, but she only had an epiphany because Jack screwed her over, not because she appreciated him.
That's true. Well, maybe the epiphany helped her appreciate him as well.
The absence of that idiot made her fond of this idiot.
So here's the final scene that was cut from the re-release where he kisses her.
Georgia and the Tramp fell in love. Now they're going to get married and have babies and put gold shoes on them.
They're going to put gold shoes on their babies?
Well, yeah, they have a multi-millions of dollars.
Seems strange.
Well, they're very materialistic.
They are.
So.
How do you feel about the gold rush?
It's a classic.
I don't know why I keep doing that voice.
It's a delightful classic silent film.
It is a delightful classic silent film. Is it as good dry as it is with a nice martini?
I don't drink martinis, so I wouldn't know.
Oh. No, I like this movie. It's so sweet. The music's great. There is a lot of really well done
set pieces.
Yeah. lots of precarious situations, but the physical comedy, like...
Yes, he was a master of physical comedy.
He was a master, and some of the sequences are really long, and it doesn't matter, because he's so good at it.
Yeah, and the special effects are very innovative and clever, and pretty seamless.
Yeah.
Considering how basic they were.
Agreed.
It's my favorite Chaplin film. Mm-hmm. I also love City Lights.
I want to watch that one again. I think I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
That and The Kid.
And The Kid is great.
I'd like to watch more of that.
Great Dictator is very good, but it's kind of long.
But I like the upside down flying scene.
Yes, that's hilarious. We're flying upside down. I know it.
The delivery is so perfect.
Oh, The Circus is a great one too. The Circus.
The Circus? I've never heard of Modern Times. I've heard of Modern Times. I've never heard of The Circus. Do you know who wrote that song, Smile?
I had forgotten, but yeah, I knew that at some point.
Is that in Modern Times? What is that in?
I'm gonna look it up on Google.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's based on an instrumental theme used in the soundtrack for Charlie Chaplin's 1936 film Modern Times. I thought it was Modern Times.
Oh.
Chaplin, who composed the song, was inspired by Puccini's Tosca.
Interesting.
John Turner and Jeffrey Parsons added the lyrics and title.
Oh.
Son of a bee.
So Charlie wrote the music.
In the lyrics, based on lines and themes from the film, the singer is telling the listener to cheer up and that there's always a bright tomorrow, just as long as they... What?
Smile.
Smile! Smile!
So basically, it's the musical equivalent of me going to you when you're sad and being like, you should maybe, like, I don't know, cheer up or something.
Yep. Justin's very good at comforting me when I'm sad or upset or mad. He just says things like, I feel like you're mad. You should probably just be happy.
I feel like you're mad. That seems kind of pointless.
No.
It's more fun to be happy.
Yep.
Just do that. Just do that. It's right there.
I feel like if you patented that, we could be multimillionaires with golden shoe children.
We could be.
Yeah.
My self-help book would be very short. It'd be like, just fucking cheer up.
Well, I mean, kind of Bobby McFerrin probably would get mad at you because he'd be like, I did that.
Yeah, but his song...
Don't worry. Be happy.
But that song's stupid.
Why don't you say that to his face?
He's not here.
Well, the next time we go to one of his concerts.
Okay. And he sings out about, this song's stupid.
See if you don't get pummeled by the McFerrinites.
It's like, they don't strike me as violent people.
You call Don't Worry, Be Happy stupid, they might turn that way.
I think they would just be more like, wow.
That guy's an idiot.
You're a snob.
We've seen Bobby McFerrin live.
We have seen
him. He's actually very good.
No, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I just don't like that song.
Yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy is like the bottom of his catalog,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we have very strongly digressed from the topic
we
at
sure
hand.
We sure have.
Thank you for joining us for Parents Night In Extra Dry.
Extra Dry. Dry January.
It's like ginger ale, except January.
It's good for your belly.
Yeah.
To listen to this episode. You should listen to it.
I want some ginger ale. I haven't had ginger ale in a dog's age.
If your stomach hurts, listen to this episode and you'll feel better.
If you like your martinis dry, but you're doing dry January, listen to our extra dry episode of The Gold Rush.
Good evening.
Ooh-oh. Thanks for listening to Parents Night In. Please subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, and more. And you can also check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/c/enuffa.com.